presence of the Lord that we feel, and we should not ever take for granted. Pastor Tim was talking about the blessings of God as we were singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." I want to talk to you today about the blessings of God. I want to talk to you about all His benefits out of Psalm 103. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 out of Psalm 103. Written by King David, the Word of God declares to us in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Bless the Lord. Somebody just bless the Lord, if you would please, in the house of God, and give Him a hand clap of praise. Lord, You alone are worthy, and we thank You, God. Hallelujah. 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 And as you're seated, tell your neighbor, "Forget not all His benefits." I had a word prepared, but we're just going to take this moment to praise God and bless the Lord. How many of you know we come to the house of God seeking a blessing quite often? But there is a responsibility for us to bless the Lord. Amen? Amen. Boy, we opened up that back thing and everybody shifted back there. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm listening. Whew. That's why we kept that thing shut. We thought you might gravitate up here, but you got to get here early to get a back seat around here, I'll tell you. Praise God. I wonder if I spit on people or if they're afraid I bite. Or, hey, I'll tell you what, it's probably a good day for you to be back there, because I don't know what's going to happen, because I just came to bless God today, amen. I just got a feeling in my spirit that it's time to worship the Lord. You know, so many times we've come to the point in the American church where we drag ourselves into the house of God on Sunday. That was not the model church in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, they were meeting together. They were eating together. They were having Bible study. They were working on their salvation and the Word of God and the will of God in their lives throughout the week, so that when they showed up on Sunday, they just came to praise God and to celebrate God and to hear a word from the Lord. You know what? We come in and it's like we've been beaten down by the week and we just need a touch from God on Sunday. Well, you know what? I come in on Sunday and I want to be able to touch the throne of God and bless the Lord with my praise and bless God with my celebration. Amen? How many of you know that blesses the heart of God? And that's what David understood. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Oh, all, A-L-L, my God in heaven. Notice what he said, all that is within me, every fiber of my being. I see people come to church and they say, "Well, we're supposed to sit all quiet and reverent and, oh, don't anyone disturb the church mouse that's over there sleeping and, shh, it's supposed to be quiet." No, it's not. There is nothing. Look at what God does in the heavens. The Bible says the earth trembles at the praise of God that takes place. I mean, we serve a God who blew His nose and split the Red Sea. There is nothing calm about our God. And nothing should be so calm when we praise Him. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." He said, you know, some may only praise Him with their lips, and some may only praise Him with a wink or a nod, but I'm going to praise Him with all that is in me. I will dance before the Lord with all my might, because I serve a God who is able, who is worthy, and who is willing. If you believe it, give God praise today. You know, shouting ain't out of order. It's just out of style in the American church. We need to get excited about the God we serve again. People say, "Well, isn't that a little emotional?" Well, don't you get emotional when you watch a football game? for a team that never did anything for you, especially you Cowboy fans. You get all emotional about that, right? We get all excited when we see a good movie. There's people, I see them at the theater and they're crying. Oh, that was such a good movie. Oh. You're like, what are you talking about? You just watched Death Race 2000. I know, but it was, touched my heart. It's amazing to me, Pastor Frank, that people complain if the pastor goes over 30 minutes, but they'll sit through a two-hour movie. Oh. Oh. And we try to stay all calm in the church because we think it's a place of reverence. No, this is a place of celebration. You know what? Why am I singing today? Why am I happy? Because I'm going to heaven. Do you understand? I'm heaven bound. And not only am I heaven bound, I've got an abundant life on earth because I serve the God who is able. Like Brother Bill says, I'm blessed by the best. I want you to know today, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too equipped to be whipped. I am a child of the Most High God, and I came into His house today to tell Him that I love Him, and I appreciate Him, and I remember all of His benefits. Can somebody just praise God in the house? Come on, church, give God praise today. Even if you don't understand it right now, just go ahead and give God praise. It'll eventually get on you. You'll get it. People are like, man, that pastor's lost his mind. You don't know the half of it. I sure have lost. I got the mind of Christ. You know what? We need to keep the lemons out of the foyers of churches. People coming in looking like they got baptized in pickle juice. We are the victorious in Christ. We serve the Most High God. We are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood, a holy nation. His own special, peculiar people. Do you know that's in the Bible? We're supposed to be peculiar. People are supposed to look at us and go, what in the world is wrong with them? What has got into them? Because when they ask that, I say, oh, let me tell you what's got into me. Come on now. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy right now. You need to get what I got. I'll tell you that right now. That's why God sent me with this word here today. I ain't even started preaching yet. I ain't even into my introduction yet. I'm trying to help you out here. My God, break this mold of churchianity religion. Let God get a hold of you and bless you. Amen. I mean, come on, let's just be honest. Why are you here? Why are you here? I mean, what is Jesus to us? Is he like a little rabbit's foot that we keep around for good luck? Are you here as part of your insurance policy, your get out of hell free? And you just trying to make sure God's not going to be angry with you? So are you trying to make sure your good outweighs your bad? Why are you here? David said, I was happy when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. He was happy to go to church. You know why? Because that meant he got to praise God. He got to get in the presence of God. He got to get a word from God. You know what? I don't come here to check off a box of religion. I don't come here for 3 points in a prayer. I come here to have a real experience with a real God who'll speak a real word into my life that will make a real difference when I need it the most. And that's the God we serve. Do you understand? He's not some absentee landlord. He cares about each and every one of you. He knows everything that's going on in your life. What an awesome God. Some of you aren't sold. I'm praying for you. For the rest who came to bless God, let's do it. David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he gives us a list of the benefits. If you ever wonder why we just got to sing and shout. If you ever wonder why we got to proclaim hallelujah until we don't have a voice. If you ever wonder why it is that we begin to cry as we thank God for his goodness, all you got to do is remember all of his benefits. It starts off, he says, he who forgives all of your iniquities. I've come to tell you today that sin was a barrier that stood between a creator and a creation. It was sin that closed the ears of God. It was sin that caused him to step away from his creation. But the Bible says today that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For as high as the heavens are above, as far as east is from west, God has removed your transgressions from you. Isaiah 12:1 says he has not dealt with us according to our sin or punished us according to our iniquity. Instead, Jesus bore my sin in his body upon the tree that I could die to sin and live for righteousness. I'm forgiven. I'm washed white, clean as snow. I'm headed to heaven. And that's a reason for me to give God praise today. Hallelujah. You see, religion says you've got to live a certain way to be accepted by God. But the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. And that's a reason to praise God. I got to tell you today, even if God does nothing else for me, if God never blesses me in any way fathomable on this earth again, I still have reason to praise him because he died my death and I'm headed to his home in heaven and I'm going to spend an eternity with him. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to come down to earth. He didn't have to go to the cross, but he did it. What an awesome God we serve today. Hallelujah. Give God praise today. You know, all religion ever did was condemn me and beat me up and break me down and tell me I wasn't good enough. But the love of God, it took me where I was unable to go. It did for me what I was unable to do. It provided me what I was unable to earn. It forgave my sin and gave me life. Whew. My God. I just thank God for his love. The love of God is phenomenal when you think about it. I don't know about you, but I can't even comprehend that kind of love. I mean, if I was God, I would have been done with me a long time ago. Right? But in his patience, in his mercy, he loved me so much, he sent his only son. He loved you so much. Do you know that if you were the only one who would have gotten saved, Jesus still would have went to the cross? That's the love of God. I was an addict when God found me. Notice that I said when God found me. People always say, well, I found Jesus. I never knew Jesus was lost. Last time I looked, we're the ones who are lost. When God found me, he found an addict, a broken man, controlled by the desires of this world. An individual with anger issues. An individual who considered himself a failure. Someone who was a sinner against God and man. But while I was still in that sin, God didn't wait for me to get it right. The love of God is what made me right. The love of God. He loves me when I'm strong. He loves me when I'm weak. He loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. He loves me when I'm up. He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm happy. He loves me when I'm sad. There's nothing that can separate. The Apostle Paul said, neither death nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, neither things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the love of God that paved the way to heaven. It's the love of God that gave us abundant life. And it's the love of God that causes me to praise him today and say, thank you, God, that you love me so much. Whew. Come on now, church. I'm trying to help you out here. Listen to Valentine's Day card to God. Amen. Boy, that got quiet. Men, you're going to need some help on this one. But you know, every Valentine's Day, what is it that we do? We send a card to tell someone that we love them. And if we take the time to pick out the right card, it will tell them why we love them. Now, men, we don't do a very good job at this. Women, sometimes you get a card that says, I love you so much, you're the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I don't know what I would do without a husband like you. And women, when you get a card that's addressed to such a phenomenal husband, realize men just don't read the cards. We just look at the ones that are pretty on the outside. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. When was the last time you sent a love letter to God? When was the last time you just stopped and said, God, I'm going to enter a time of prayer. I ain't going to ask you for anything. Instead, I'm just going to thank you for what you've already done. I'm going to recognize all that you have done in my life, and I'm going to start by recognizing that you received me when no one else would. The love of God. When was the last time you just gave God praise for his love? I'm talking about a personal relationship with Christ here. You know, there's a lot of people who are raised in church but aren't raised in Christ. How do you know the difference? Oh, the ones that are raised in church know all of the facets of ministry. They know 3 points in a prayer, and they know the lyrics to Power and the Blood. But I'm talking about knowing the one whose blood was shed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you still look baffled. You got to get out of this religion nonsense that's kept you bound up. I'm trying to help you get set free here. Church is not a building. You were never called to come to church. You were called to become the church. And you'll know when someone has become the church because they can't help but praise God. Not because the praise team is singing their song. Not because the preacher is preaching good that day. They just come to bless God no matter what. Because they know who God is. They know his character. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. He has forgiven me of my sin. And you know what he goes on to say, David does? He says he's forgiven me of my sin and he is my healer. Can I just pause for a moment and point something out to you? Jesus didn't have to become your healer. Now you can say amen or oh me to that, but here's the deal. When he came to earth, he came to put sin down. That happened on the cross. But Peter goes on to say that he took my sins in his body upon the tree that I might die to sin and live for righteousness, and by his stripes you were healed. Before Jesus went to the cross, he went to the whipping post and he was flogged with a cat of nine tails. He had his back ripped open raw because there is something in that power of that blood that when he took those stripes, he took the penalty of disease that was in the earth to redeem it. You know, Jesus could have just went to the cross, but he stopped at a whipping post. Why do I celebrate God? Why do I celebrate that truth? I'll tell you why. Because I've got a daughter now who's 10 years old, who when she was born had a hole in her heart. And the doctors told us the day she was born, and they saw it, this is not good. We've got to send her to a specialist in Richmond. She's going to have surgery. This was on a Monday. They said this would happen by Thursday. They had to do some extra tests. They wouldn't get everything back till Wednesday. On Tuesday, we went to an altar. That morning, we spent that whole morning in prayer. God gave us a word. We got up from that. We said, everything's going to be fine because God said so. We went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, I want to show you something. And he showed 2 x-rays, and the second one he said, you see, here's where the hole is. On this one, you see the hole's not there. He said, but, oh, it gets better. He said, not only is the hole not there, there's not even a line where the hole closed upon itself. It's as though the hole had never even been there. So you see, I have a reason to praise God. He said, I can't explain that. I said, I can. I can tell you exactly what happened. I serve the God who created that heart. You say, well, maybe there was just a malfunction. You came too late to try to tell me God doesn't do miracles. You came way too late. I told you, it wasn't too long ago. There's Sister Sherry back there. Not too long ago, I gave a testimony in the church that at our former church, in 1 year, 9 people were diagnosed with tumors and cancers. And all but one of them, on their x-ray prior to surgery, it was revealed that the tumor was gone inexplicably, that the cancer was gone inexplicably. And we were giving God praise. The one who was open, they cut her open only to see healthy pink tissue and organs in there, closed her right back up. She was 80-some years old, had the body of a 40-year-old, they said. When they closed her back up, wheeled her back out, she's still alive. My wife just went and saw her yesterday, as a matter of fact. So that's the God we serve. I gave that testimony, and the same thing just turned around and happened for a woman of God we were praying for that Sherry brought to the throne of God here. I'm here to tell you, friends, God is able. He is still in the healing business. He is here to do a miracle in your life, and that's a reason to praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, when God does the miraculous, all of a sudden you'll get a praise on. I'll tell you what, we've had some shout fests in hospitals. They don't know what to say when that happens. Whew. Oh, my God in heaven. He heals. If anyone has ever had a healing, and I'm not talking about, oh, Lord, heal me of this headache. Hey, that's important because you know what? I don't like having headaches either. But I mean beyond the doctor's ability. If you or someone in your immediate family has ever had a healing that is inexplicable to medical science, can you just give God a hand clap of praise right now? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have time to give all the testimony. I'll guarantee you there's people in here who's got better ones than I've just said. But I bless the Lord for all the times he's healed physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Not just does he heal, the Bible says he redeems. Whew. Thank God for redemption. And I'm not just talking about forgiveness of sin. He said, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Redemption means that he has negated the consequence of sin in your life. That he's defeated everything that can rise up against you. What does this mean, redemption? People come in and they say, oh, I can't stop what I'm doing. But the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. People say, oh, I'm not able to do what you're asking me to do, but greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. When your situation looks impossible, with the faith of a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain and say, be thou removed. If you struggle with addiction, you don't have to be bound, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You may have sinned against God, but you will not be utterly cast down, for he will uphold you with a righteous hand. You may get a bad doctor's report, but by his stripes you are healed. The counselor may say there's no hope for your kids or your marriage, but my God speaks things that are not as though they were. Legions of devils can come against you, but you are a brand plucked from the fire. You are the apple of his eye and the called of God. And if God be for you, who can be against you? There's a reason to praise God today. He has redeemed you. I thank God for that redemption. I just want to pause on this Lord's Day and stir up your remembrance. Bring to remembrance what God has done in your life. And the promises that he has given, he is worthy of our praise. We live in a church age where congregations have to be primed to get their praise on. It's like the days of old. Anybody have one of those water pumps when they were growing up, or their grandma and grandpa had one? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? You have to pour a little bit of water in, then you had to start pumping. and you kept pumping and you kept pumping, and eventually you get some water flowing. Sometimes praise is like that. You get a praise team up here and they're pouring into it and they're pouring into it and they're pouring into it, and they're a pumping and they're a pumping and they're a pumping. And right about the time they're wrapping up, people go, yeah, hey, praise God. All right, yeah. God, you are awesome. Hallelujah. And the praise team's like, it ought not be. It ought not be. We serve an awesome God. We ought to pull into this parking lot with praise on our lips, realizing we're about to come into the house of the Most High God, the God of all the heavens and the earth, the Holy One of Israel, the Ancient of Days. He is the God that we serve. He is worthy of our praise. He is for us, not against us. He ain't mad at you. He's mad about you. He sent his only son to die so that you would have salvation. You would be headed to heaven. Your body can be healed and you can be redeemed from anything that would try to afflict you or affect you. We serve an awesome God today, and we give him praise in his house. Come on, church. Hallelujah. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verses 9 and 10, it says, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. If I may translate that literally, it means God does not hold a grudge. Thank you, God. Whew. Thank you, God. The mercies of God are from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Don't look at God like you look at yourself or like you look at others. Others may hold a grudge. I hear people all the time say, well, I'm able to forgive, but I can't forget. I'm not going to preach that message today. But let me just tell you that you serve a God who not only is able to forgive, he chooses to forgive. I'm going to show a video here. I'm not sure when. It's going to be very soon on Wednesday night. And let me just say, for those of you who showed up Wednesday night, because I had promised I was going to, in our study of Revelation, I was going to talk about the Antichrist and reveal to you who I believe the most likely candidate for that office is. I was going to do that Wednesday. Didn't know I would not be here. I apologize. You have to forgive me if you want to go to heaven. But I will tell you, unless God takes me somewhere else on this Wednesday, I will share that with you on Wednesday night. But on another Wednesday night, I'm going to share a vision of heaven that Jesse Duplantis had. Powerful man of God. One of the most heart-wrenching. I'm telling you, when he shared this, the first time it hit my ears, it literally dropped me to my knees and I began to cry. I didn't hear the next 10 minutes until I later saw it on another event. He talked about an encounter with Jesus in his vision. And he said the first reaction he had, he just fell on his face before God and he began to repent. Powerful man of God. Doing the work of the Lord, having forsaken all, he falls on his face before God and begins to repent. And he said, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for all I've done. And he said, Jesus lifted him up and said, Jesse, I didn't know that you did it because I forgot about it. That's the God that we serve. You know, when we stand before God and we say, God, I am so sorry. He's going to say, for what? Don't you understand? I forgot. I chose to forget it. I don't know about you, friends, but I've been hurt in my life. I've had people do me wrong. I've had Christians do me wrong. I've had family members do me wrong. And man, it's hard to forget, ain't it? Amen. Come on, it's okay. You're in church. You can tell the truth. Shame the devil. It's hard to forget. It's hard enough to forgive. Man, I feel good when I come to the place where I'm able to forgive. But it's not easy to forget. But we serve a God who chooses. He does not hold a grudge. Whew. God desires to restore fellowship with all of his creation. And sometimes I am just in awe and wonder at his loving kindness, his tender mercies. I just want you to think about it for a day. Just spend this day pondering. When you go to lunch, when you're sitting at home, I have already forgotten more things that I've done wrong in my own life than I care to even consider. It's so amazing how quickly we forget what we've done. But what others have done, I don't know about you. I remember kids when I was in grade school who did me wrong. Come on, am I alone in this? I'll lay down on a couch and let you all counsel me here real quick if it's good. I don't. Maybe I just need, you know, physician, heal thyself. I remember when I was in grade school, things that kids did, things that family members did. I remember things that were done to me. If I saw that person today, hey, man, how's it going? They wouldn't even know that they had done those things. But I know. How much more right does God have? But he chooses to forget. And he chose to forgive. What an awesome God we serve. You know, I hear people all the time say, well, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Yet God chooses to forget. He crowns with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies. Oh, man. This is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack. They suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. He satisfies. I'm blessed coming in and going out. I'm the head and not the tail. My latter days shall be greater than my former because the Bible says so. I'm entering a season of blessing and favor, as are each and every one of you. Paul said, I'm confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in you shall complete it. Satisfied. Whew. I got to tell you, friends, I don't have all the victories in my battles. I haven't made all the wrongs right. I haven't gone the distance. I haven't solved all the problems. I haven't fixed all the issues. But God ain't through with me yet. And he satisfies. He meets my needs. He helps me grow as I go along. Huh. I'm not what I think I am. I'm not all that I want to be. I'm not everything God has called me to be. But God ain't through with me yet. God satisfies. Whew. You know, there are just those days when you get heavy, when you get tired, but God satisfies. There are times when you have need beyond your ability, but God satisfies. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The peace of God that passes understanding. The joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can we just, you know, oh man. Lord, don't let me get in trouble. Sometimes we're always wanting more, more, more. A little more will make me happy. A little more and I'll survive. A little more and I'll get over the hump. Just a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. We have lost the ability to be content. Just to be content. And let God satisfy us. Here's what I found. There's nothing God can give me that can replace God. So many times we're chasing the blessing and don't realize the real blessing is the blessor. Nothing satisfies like God. Trust the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, I thank God. When I talk about what happened with Cheyenne and her heart, a similar thing happened with Braylon when First Lady was 7 months pregnant. On Christmas Eve, we got rear-ended by a drunk driver who stole a black car and was speeding at 60 miles an hour with no headlights on. We're at a dead stop. Took her to the hospital. They said, there's no heartbeat. But we kept praying. Praying so much, in fact, that when we came out of the hospital and the doctor said, okay, I've got the heartbeat, here's the ultrasound, we can see the baby. The insurance company said, okay, we're going to wait till the baby's born to find out if there's any residual effects to make sure that that individual has to make reparations. But God had told us to be done with it and move on. They said, we advise you strongly against that, because what happens if something's wrong with the child? But I had a peace that satisfied. A peace that I can't explain. The world said I was crazy. My family said I was crazy. My insurance company said I was crazy. But God said, trust me, everything's going to be all right. I didn't need extra money from that insurance company, because God's my provider. I didn't need to wait to see a doctor's report, because God's my healer. I didn't need to go see the doctor to get some Prozac to carry me through it, because God satisfied. He provided me peace. I'm trying to help you out today and tell you to stop and just think. So many times we're so focused on the world and we try to pull God into it. And instead, if we'll focus and let God be our world, everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest will be added to you. That's a reason to praise God. Let me give you another one. I'm getting ready to wrap this up, which I know doesn't mean anything, but he satisfies your mouth with good things, so your youth is renewed like the eagle. Somebody ought to say amen to that. I don't know about you, but you know, I'm 41 now. And some of you are like, yeah, that's still a spring chicken. But for those of you who are under the age of 41, when you hear everybody tell you, oh man, your health, your body, everything starts changing when you're 40, they're right. I mean, crazy things happen. Like, I woke up the other day and I was just having I just couldn't get it together. And Crystal, First Lady, looked at me and she said, are you all right? And I said, I must have slept wrong. How in the world did I get to a place where I failed at sleeping? I mean, all you do is lay down and close your eyes, right? And I did it wrong. And I woke up and I couldn't stand up straight. My neck hurt. And, man, I felt like the Frankenstein monster. How did I get to this place? As a kid, you would fight off any idea of taking a nap. Now I just want to take a nap. Amen? I'm going to move to Spain. They got it right. My wife's got me taking vitamin D and Centrum and all this other stuff. And man, I go to the gym and I remember what I used to be able to lift. And now it's just like painful just watching them lift it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, this getting old stuff ain't good. I take ibuprofen on the golf course, because by the time I hit the 15th hole, my muscles are sore from golfing. I used to play football from sun up till sundown. I played rugby in Japan. I used to play very physical sports. I can't golf 18 holes without hurting. That ain't right. That's the devil. But here's what the Word of God says. It says, He will renew my strength like the eagle. Isaiah chapter 40 says, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. Even the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I've got news for you today. You know, I look at young Andrew, who had to step out of here, but, you know, I see his pictures. He's got the six-pack, and I remember when I had a six-pack, now I got kind of like a gallon of milk thing going on. But he's got a six-pack, and he's running his 3 miles in 18 minutes, and I remember back in those days, but I got news for him. You see, I wait on the Lord. He might be going into the Marine Corps, but I'm still a Marine. And I'm waiting on the Lord. And that means the youths are going to get tired. And he's going to fall aside. And all of a sudden, he's going to see this fat little short guy running by him and say, "Who in the world is that?" And I'm going to say, "Hey, I've been renewed with the strength as an eagle. And my God has blessed me." And I'm not just talking physical. I'm talking spiritual and emotional. And I believe that's a word for the woman of God. You're going out on the golf course this year to whoop me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Belor's been waiting on the Lord. And His word says, "You shall mount up with wings as eagles." And she's going to go out there, and you won't even need ibuprofen when you spank me. That's the God we serve. Amen. I mean, you don't believe me? Look at them right there. I mean, I don't mean to put you guys on the spot. You've been married how long? 72 years. Moses was your best man, right?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to let you all do the math. 72 years, they didn't get married when they were 15. You never ask a lady her age, but that tells you that there's probably a 9 in front of it. And yet they've got more energy than most people I know. Why is that? Because they planted 22 churches. Because they've been doing the work of the Lord for 70-some years. And the Bible says, "They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." God has renewed their strength time and again and time and again. It's not a formula for you to have long life. The point is you have full life and you have abundant life when you walk with God and do the work of God. And that's a reason to praise Him. Because even though you get tired, even though you get beat down, He is your strength. He will pick you up and renew you with wings as an eagle. My God in heaven. Come on up here, Minister Crystal. I just wanted to take a moment today. I know we didn't get into a deep theological discussion. Here's what God laid on my heart. I'm gonna share with you next week what He gave us this week. I'm going to do a little treaching, as I call it. Be a little teaching combined with a little preaching. I encourage you to read Acts chapter 27. That's where I'm going to be. And I believe it's going to bless somebody. Because God wouldn't give me a word if He didn't mean to bless somebody. But here's the reality. Though that word is going to bless somebody, we've got to understand that we have a role, and that is to bless God. There comes a time when we've just got to have a celebration of the Lord in our own lives, in our homes, in our churches, where we come to the house of God without an agenda. Just come to praise God.